Well, welcome to the Repost Non-League Show, and we're here for the next hour. And pleased to say that we have got with us a very old friend of mine. Some days when he was refereeing his young lad, who's a massive success now as well, just like his dad, of course, the interim manager down at Cardiff City. So we welcome Omar. How are you, sir?
Yeah, lovely to be back and talking to you, Dave, Keith, and the rest of the guys on the show. Yeah, very good. Working hard as you always do, and striving to get to where you want to get to. And yeah, thanks for the kind words.
No problems. Of course, also joining us as well is Christian. And Christian, of course, runs us through the turnstiles of non-league. And it's if you haven't followed him, make sure you get on there and follow him on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and everywhere else, of course, all the usual stuff. So it's fantastic to have you with us as well, Christian.
Yeah, no, thanks for having us. Yeah, look forward to it.
And of course, we've got with us as well the guys and like girls from the Essex Senior League, because we're going to be doing the draw as well for their next rounds of their cup competition, and of course that is as well, of course, the Errington Challenge Cup and the Pete Butcher Cup. But before we get to that, because that'll be straight up, because Asher's got to race off and referee. But we've got to say a massive hello and a massive welcome back to the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Keith McMahon. It's great to have you back, sir.
Hi Dave, how you doing, mate?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad at all. Not too bad. So let's have a quick look then at the draws, and which one do we want to go for first, Misha?
Should we do the Errington?
Let's do the Errington. So number one then. So anybody that's listening, these are the numbers. So number one is Saffron Walden Town. Number two is Takeley. Number three is Halstead Town or West Essex. Number four is Athletic Newham. Number five is Woodford Town. Number six is Little Oakley, who are in action tonight, of course, against Romford. Number seven, Benfleet or Great Wakering Rovers, and number eight is White Ensign.
That's fine. I'll draw the home teams. Michelle will draw the away teams. Apologies if Michelle draws you away, but there we go. So the first one out is number one.
So that is Saffron Walden Town.
Versus number seven.
Which is Benfleet or Great Wakering?
Number three.
Which is Halstead Town or West Essex?
Versus number two.
Which is Takeley?
Number six.
Which is Little Oakley.
Versus number four.
Athletic Newham.
Number eight.
White Ensign.
And number five.
And they'll play Woodford Town. So just
Okay.
recap that then. It is Saffron Walden versus Benfleet or Great Wakering Rovers. It is Halstead Town or West Essex against Takeley, Little Oakley versus Athletic Newham, and White Ensign versus Woodford Town.
Perfect. Thank you, Dave.
Awesome. Thank you. So, Michelle will draw the home teams in the Peter Butcher. I'll draw the away teams.
Okay, so here are the numbers then you're looking for. Number one is Great Wakering Rovers. Number two is FC Clacton. Number three is Hull Bridge. Number four is Halstead. Number five is Saffron Walden Town. Number six is Woodford or Takeley. Number seven, the FA Vars champions, Romford. And number eight is Little Oakley or West Essex.
Okay. The first out is number four.
Which is Halstead.
Will play number one.
Which is Great Wakering Rovers.
Number three.
Is Hullbridge.
Play number six.
We'll play Woodford or Takeley.
Number two.
Is FC Clacton.
Midweek away trip four. Number five.
And that is Saffron Walden Town.
Number seven.
The FA Vars champions Romford at home. Steve will be happy.
Absolutely. We'll play number eight.
And that is Little Oakley or West Essex.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I've got one question for you, Michelle, before you get run off. What's it like having the main man back in the league? Of course, Mr. Edwards is back.
Well, we got a win on Saturday, didn't they?
We did.
Yeah.
ding, ding, dinging in the dressing room as well.
I don't know.
You're not seeing
it. I wouldn't know anything about that.
They were singing at the
no,
singing
I don't
song.
Know.
Yeah, they were singing in the dressing room.
Listen, Craig loves a song when he wins.
Yeah, I see it knocking around social media. Look, it's for me who runs the social media sites, things like that are all positive to share. Obviously, you know, from a league perspective, it's sad to lose a manager. It's a positive to gain a manager, obviously a legend like him. But yeah, more social media, more things in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Of sing songs, I'm all right with.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and it's good to see him back. Somebody said that he was going to retire. He came on the show, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, and he said he wasn't retiring. He was just looking for that opportunity, and it may have come along a bit quicker than he was expecting. But he's back in the game, and it's fantastic to see it happen.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some good things going on over there, to be fair.
No, absolutely. They've got them over there and the FA Vars champions over there, so it's a good ground to go to.
It is at the moment, yes. And I think there's going to be some signings going to be announced in the next day or two. I've seen there's been a few seven-dayers gone in, so I think there's going to be some interesting moves over there.
Well, it's going to be... Keep a look out for that, then. All barking fans. Well, listen, guys, we know you're busy and we know you've got to get to this game, so we'll let you run off. But it's fantastic seeing you guys again. And
thank you,
I just hope, I suppose we'll leave it with, we just hope Michelle got a car sorted.
Yeah, don't talk to me about that car. Don't talk to me about the car. It's a nightmare. I appreciate it. Sorry we've got a fly and we're a bit quiet. We normally talk a lot, but I'm sorry we're shooting off tonight.
No,
enjoy
no
the rest
at all.
Of the show, everyone.
Take
See
care.
You later.
See you later. Thank you very much.
Bye.
No worries, Ash. See you later, mate.
See ya. Take care.
See ya.
Dave, that, I think that's a first, mate.
What's that?
That we've made the Cardiff City manager wait to talk to us for Essex Senior Cup draw. That should be all over their social media. How's that, Omar?
No problem.
We're waiting. We're not going to make him wait any longer. I mean, Christian, we'll come to you in a bit if that's all right, mate. And if you've got any questions, of course, you want to ask Omar, then by all counts, you know, by all means, you know, jump in as well, mate, through this. Yeah. But, I mean, well, tell us, how did it all come about? You know, how did it sort of just all of a sudden, you know, we're seeing, you know, superstar and yourself taking over at Cardiff? I mean, where did it all come from?
Well, as it happens, you know, you go into a club, you're an assistant coach to the first team manager. The first team manager, unfortunately, doesn't get the results that he's looking for. And the opportunity comes up where, you know, people feel you're doing a good job. Whether it's players, whether it's coaching staff that are at the club and the board above, and the opportunity comes along. And it's really as simple as it is, really, Dave.
Mm. I mean, for people that don't know, I mean, how long have you been there as caretaker manager now?
I think it's 50, is it 55, 56, 57 days now. I came in the start of the season as, like I said, assistant coach. To the first team manager, having left Watford last season, it's come about at a good time for me. It was never a good time when a manager loses his job and the manager brings you into the club, but you know, I've been ready for a while now, and I think the job's going okay. I think we're doing well. We've picked ourselves up and we're playing with intensity and with a bit of character and a bit of enjoyment, and I think we've made a lot of people smile so far. Now it's just about continuing that that momentum.
Mm. Where was the turning point in the season, Omar? Obviously, I looked at your results. I said to you before, I've got friends down in Cardiff, and they're massive Cardiff fans, and I said, I know the pressure and that they've sort of put on their side, and the start you had. Was it the Millwall game?
Well, yeah, that is the well, obviously I took over at Hull, which was the game before Millwall, and we were I implemented a new system, a new style, some different players in there as well, and obviously getting the win against Millwall, who have had a really good run lately. Against I think they haven't lost, don't think they've lost any games other than our game. Yeah, I think it's a turning point in respect of obviously the players' confidence levels and just that, you know, that willingness to want to go and win a game and you know, get themselves out of trouble. And yeah, so it was a turning point in a sense. It was our first win and our first clean sheet. But I think even the whole game, I think the 4-1 result was a cruel scoreline, because there was a lot more in the game that where we maybe should have had more opportunities and scored more goals. But like I say, it was the first time out, and we didn't quite do what we needed to. We made a few individual errors, which were costly. But yeah, so the Millwall game, and then obviously we had a good run since then, other than the last two games.
You mentioned obviously, you know, some of the changes you made, because when obviously it's completely different than the non-league that you started off in, is that you couldn't bring any players in, etc. Like, you got the transfer windows. So did you know the players were there, but you just had to sort of tink things a little bit? Or was it, look, lads, this is a fresh start here. The lads are not getting in the side or the squad. You know, it's all open, but I'm going to change the system or shape. Or did you sort of do it gradually? Or did you have your own ideas that, it, you know, the squad you had could do better with a different shape?
Yeah, I think obviously I've been here from the start of the season. I see the squad from the start, players we brought in, you know, brought in some excellent players, and it just didn't quite happen. You know, the manager wanted certain things, maybe that I would have applied a little bit differently. Although you can always, you know, put your point across, the manager makes the final decision. So I always knew that there's a squad there that's got good players with good ability, good character. And I felt there was a little bit of a problem in trying to find areas up further up the pitch to create, by trying to create movements in order to get there. I thought we had players that could just be there rather than create those options. And yeah, so we changed the system, changed a few players, and everyone's played a part, the whole squad. So and they're all working hard, and they're all working for each other, they're working for me, working for the club, and the results have been the proof of that.
What was it like, I'm back on the 19th of October, you was up against the manager there on the 19th of October. How long was it in the game before he shouted out, "I'm a celebrity, get me out of Cardiff"?
You lost me there, mate. What are you talking about? Tell me what you're talking about.
Wayne Rooney.
Oh, right, Wayne, yeah. He weren't on the bench, so... Oh, yeah, and his missus in there. Oh, yeah. All right. I'm a bit tired, mate. I've been on like a 26-hour flight. So, he was suspended that game. He was up in the stands anyway. And it was a game we had to win, and we had to perform in. And unfortunately, they got the rough end of the stick that day. And it can happen. You know, we've seen it many times before. They were a good side, you know. They had a lot of attacking threats, and we managed to nullify that. And you know, we created so many opportunities and chances, and scored some wonderful goals that day. And it was a lovely game to be part of.
And you said, we said before about your boy being down at Watford, and of course that game's coming up soon on the 7th of December. I mean, Civil War.
Nah, not at all. You know, I know the coach is there. Cleverly, he's been given the opportunity, who, you know, I helped along the way with his coaching and bits and bobs. And, you know, Matt, Damon Lathrop's there up in the first team as well. So I was at the club for 7 years. You know, it was a great place for me to be at. I got the opportunity to be around the first team. And no, I'm sure it'll be a tough game. You know, they're doing well at the minute as well. Obviously we're not in the position that we're still in a precarious position, but the performances and the form has been okay. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that game.
I mean, it's a big, go on, Keith, go on.
With the catchment area you've got, obviously, you know, I'm into the non-league side, and you know, you've got yourself, Swansea, obviously Wrexham, the three sort of clubs that sort of play pro football in the whole of Wales. But obviously, you know, it's quite a big place. There's obviously a lot of decent non-league sides there as well. Do you sort of look out and get your scouts to sort of look for the youngsters coming forward, or is it, well, we're at that level and it's a little bit sort of not what we're there? Sort of when you're at Watford, you know, you're surrounded by loads and loads of sort of professional football clubs, especially in the middle of London. But do you sort of find that you can find the hidden gem there in Wales?
Yeah, I think it's the same everywhere, Keith. You know, you're always looking for a gem and you're always looking for players that are playing at lower levels, at young ages, that could potentially come in and do well. We still obviously bring players in from clubs that have been released in the professional game and give them opportunities. We're fortunate enough to have a really good academy system where, you know, the 21s and the 18s are doing well. We've had some boys break into the first team. But yeah, of course, you know, we get the chance that we play, you know, Cardiff also play in like the County Cup, if you like the big teams do down in Hertfordshire, like the Hertfordshire Cup or Essex Cup or whatever you want to call it. So that's a good opportunity for us to see players play against our players, if you like. And if there's any young ones there or any ones that are a really good good player, then obviously there's going to be an opportunity to have a look at those players. But yeah, it's always open to, of course, you'd be silly not to.
I mean, he's a cracking striker down at Merthyr Town, Ricardo Rees, smashing goals in like there's no one's business for the last two, three seasons.
Really? How old are you then?
Not sure. I was just literally trying to find out. But that's sitting top of the step three, Merthyr. He's smashing goals in, like, because I do the goal show for the Summer League and get to see his goals, and he's smashing them in all over the shop. And for the last couple of years, yeah, good player.
Nice. I have to check him out then.
Well, if he signs a contract, he'd be sponsored by us, though. Have it on the back of his shirt.
How do you spell his name then?
Hold on, I shall get it up for you, and I'll find him in 2 seconds. I'm just trying to get into the Summer League website now. But I mean, with that sort of side of it, I mean, you know, Keith is just saying about the non-leagues. I mean, is it a case of getting to know your scouts, and do you have a say in where you want them to go and stuff like that?
You know, obviously, the when you get to this level, the recruitment is big. You know, obviously, there's scouts that are around the whole country and abroad, and they'll find and filter players, and then, you know, that will come to us, and we can look at that. And if we see any players, we can filter it into the recruitment team and have discussions regarding, you know, moving forwards. But yeah, you know, we all come together as a collective and look at every aspect of the players that we're looking at.
I'm just pulling out 24.
All right.
And he's, I'm just trying to look in here. So,
how did you spell his second name then?
R-E-E-S.
R-E-E-S. Oh, Rees.
Yeah.
Okay.
So last year, I'm looking at this, it's saying 44 goals last year, according to what you're saying here.
It's not bad at step three.
Oh, yeah, and so this year he's top of the charts, 19 so far this season. And the Chertsey player Jack Mazzone, he's second on 14.
Yeah.
Well, my mate is the chairman of Chertsey. Chertsey Town, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. They won the did they not win the trophy or the vase or something?
Vase. Yeah, when Dave Anderson was managing.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Yeah. Mm. Okay. Interesting. Mm.
But see, yeah.
Thanks for that bit of information, Dave. I'll take that to the bank.
Paul probably won't be happy with me if he sees the programme. But hey, but there you go. But it's, I mean, it is that sort of thing, though, isn't it? It's sort of networking. I mean, are you sitting there now and saying, I suppose it's a bit like they said to Lee Carsley. I mean, I'm taking it that you want the job full time.
Yeah, I've been asked that question a lot now. I don't want you to ask me it again, to be fair. Of course, I want the job. You know, it's not something I shy away from. I've been ready for it for a while, and it's down to the club to make the decision. You know, I've got to do my job, trying to get results, trying to get the team play a certain way, trying to get the fans off their seats, which is what I've always wanted to do as a player and as a coach. And I'll continue to do that as long as I can.
Have you adapted being a coach now to actually stepping into the main sort of hot seat? You know, have you stepped back and let your coaches now come in and do what you was doing, or are you still very hands on?
You know, I've been a head coach at 21s level, at 18s, 16s, obviously at non-league level. I was head coach at Orient as well, assistant manager now at a few clubs. And like I said, I've been ready a while now, and I'm enjoying it. And I am hands-on still. You know, I'll take sessions, especially all the in-possession stuff, the out-of-possession stuff. You know, obviously I have my input in respect of how I want it done. And I can allow coaches to be able to apply it on the training ground. And we come together, we make a decision, and we create a game plan for every game, individual game on their own merits. And we carry on. But I am hands-on. You know, I am an intense coach, manager. And I like to be intense. I like my players to be intense. And I like to work to high level. So sometimes I feel I need to drive that. Sometimes players want to listen to the head coach as well. You know, it's not just about sitting back and letting others do it.
And what do you do when people watching, sort of when we've just gone through the international break? What's a club like Cardiff do while that's going on?
So we obviously, you have players away, so you have to take that into account. Players that haven't had enough minutes sometimes throughout the season, who ain't been able to get into the team, or you know, playing a bit part in respect of the minutes that they're getting. So the first part of the week, we trained hard. You know, Monday, Tuesday, we had a friendly against Brentford on the Wednesday. So we, you know, managed to get some minutes in the legs of some of the boys that need it. And some of the youngsters had a good chance to have a look at some of the youngsters again. So we, you know, we combined the players to make the numbers up that we needed to get the game on. And then you give them some time off as well, so they can spend with their families and, you know, manage to get away. And because, you know, this league is relentless, and it's I think they need that time sometimes just to spend away, to recover, regroup, and come back in like we have today, ready to go.
What's it like though? With, I mean, the big guy, you know, the big clubs, realistically, for the last, you know, numerous amount of years, in yourself and Swansea, and then all of a sudden having sort of noisy neighbours up the road, you know, quite a bit up the road, but you know, up the road still. What is that like? Do you feel that's a little bit better for you guys, taking the attention off of sort of Cardiff and Swansea a little bit, because everybody's sort of like focusing on them?
No, I've not even really thought about it, to be honest with you. I think, you know, Wrexham, in their own right, have achieved a lot of great things. You know, they've got a model there that seems to be influencing a lot of media at the moment as well. People seem to be enjoying it, and they're climbing up the leagues. You know, and there's players playing there that I brought through as youngsters. You know, Sam Dalby was there, who's moved recently. I think Ollie Palmer, I had at Orient, who's playing there. Obviously, the longer you're in the game, the more players that pass through your hands, and you know, that network just gets bigger and bigger. So it's nice to see them doing well, and I'm sure they'll continue.
Go on, Christian, you've got a question.
Yeah, two-parter for you. You mentioned earlier about your earlier manager career with like Chessin and Orient. One, how do you feel that that's sort of shaped you as a manager? And two, is there any differences with managing those sort of clubs to obviously managing Cardiff now?
Have they shaped me? Obviously, Orient was good. You know, it shaped me in respect of dealing with a lot of adversity and dealing with players that were not in a good place mentally at times due to the situation that was taking place and unfolding at the club. Dealing with players with honesty, I think, is key. I think I've always done that. And I'll never change that in that respect. Chessin, you know, unfortunately at Chessin, there's, you know, the owners who run the club there, I don't know what they think of football and, you know, how it should be and how it shouldn't be. But, you know, that was short-lived because of decisions that was made that maybe, you know, shouldn't have been made. And that's the bottom line. I enjoyed Chessin. I enjoyed the players, dealing with different players who, you know, on one hand at non-league is probably... It's quite tough at non-league, you know, you're dealing with players that want to be footballers. You're dealing with players who are not interested in being footballers, but just want to be part of the, you know, the group and the banter and you know, that sort of stuff. And want to earn a little bit of money on the side to pay for their drinks. And then you've got the players who want to get there, the young lads who are still striving to become. So it's a good platform for them to, you know, to play and you know, earn their stripes and get another opportunity to step up to professional football potentially. The 7-day thing with contracts, you know, is you know, you find it hard to build and sustain, because you know, people pinch players for £5 more. So there's a whole range of things that it's had to deal with at non-league level that you don't have to deal with at this level. But then at this level, you're dealing with a different beast entirely. You know, you're dealing with, you know, top players who are all striving and fighting to be, you know, to be the best they can be. You know, and you're dealing with, you know, egos at times, and you're dealing with different characters. Same at non-league. But overall, you know, it all comes back to the same thing, and that is, you know, plan and prep properly, introduce a style of play that's potentially different to others, that allows people to show and showcase themselves, gives fans a chance to enjoy themselves, and honesty. I say that all the time. Honesty with the players is key for me, and being fair to everybody, I think that's really important, and I've always stuck by that. And I think I say it all the time. I don't think there's maybe one player in the whole course of my career as a coach that potentially hasn't called me, and that's because I had to be brutally honest with him when he was playing up, and he was the only one out of everyone that probably hasn't called me, asked me how I am, or asked me for advice, and that means a lot to me, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. You just mentioned it a minute ago when you said about, you know, when you talk about non-league players obviously striving to be professionals. Do you find, obviously, of the level that you're at, obviously in the Championship, which is a, you know, unbelievable stadium, an unbelievable sort of standard, even if you compare it to other European football, do you find players are more striving to get to the Holy Grail, the next level of the Premiership, with the everything that they can add, money, international call-ups, etc., and big clubs? Or do you think, no, you know, they're looking to be at the club to do as well as they can for them? Do you find, sort of, you know, you're in a good level, but you're up there touching distance from the next stage?
I think it's the same with everything, isn't it? You know, you've got players at every level, whether it's non-league, in the league, and players know when they're playing better than the level that they're at and they want to strive and push on. Some players know that they're at a level where they potentially won't kick on and happy to be where they're at and play for their club and, you know, and do well. And then there's players that know that maybe they're slowly on the way down and holding on to what they've got. So it's the same. It doesn't change. The players, they're at a very high level and predominantly always striving to be the best they can be, and that's play for their first team, get in the national team or move up another level. So from this level, the only level up is either moving abroad to one of the top five leagues or into the Premier League. So, yeah.
Have you got any youngsters there, Omar, that you look at and think, you know, this young lads or these young lads are going to be, you know, the next level?
Well, you know, I've already got a few in the team now who are playing. You know, Ruben Colwell, who's a top talent, is 22 now. Joel Bagan, who's 22, who's a top talent, who's been in and out of the team. Ollie Tanner, Alex Robertson, they're all 21, 20, 10 years old, you know. And we've got many more. We've got youngsters that have been in around the first team from the 21s, playing for Wales and stuff like that. So yeah, there's a whole host of players that are doing very well, and you know, get opportunities to come up and train with the first team and showcase themselves and work at a level that's above where they're at. So it gets to push them and you know, help them progress. And there's a wealth of talent here.
I mean, do you get people like Craig Bellamy come and speak to you, though, and you know, get a phone call from him or whatever you might get? Maybe he's in and around the place tomorrow night and this week. I mean, does he come up to you and speak to you about the Cardiff and about some of the Welsh players there? And do you get conversations like that with the national manager?
He came in pre-season, start of the season, and we had a chat with him then regarding players and things like that. But since that point, I haven't spoke to him yet. There's been no need, obviously, if he feels there's a player that that he might be want to take a punt on or have a look at. He might call me and ask me what I think of them or what they've been like. Are they at the level or not? But that hasn't happened as of yet, other than the players. Everything's through press, really. So if he says something, potentially I'll be asked a question in press and then I'll answer it and vice versa. So there's been no reason yet for us to talk. I'm sure if he feels the need to, I'm only at the end of the phone, I'm sure to have a chat and discuss.
I was going to say, when you first sort of took over the job and you got the job, was there, did any fixture you sat and thought, do you know what, I'm really looking forward to walking out at that ground as the manager of Cardiff? Obviously, apart from your own.
Yeah, obviously there was excitement and there was like that element of, I worked so hard to get to this point over the last 12, 13 years, 14 years, whatever it is. Element of excitement and an element of, arrival to a certain extent to show what you can do. But you have to be ready and you have to produce because it's quite easy to, think you're ready for it. You come into it and you're not able to do it. So, coming off the back of the 4-1 defeat at Hull, which was a tough one. Like I said, it wasn't really 4-1, the game. It was, I knew the makeup was there to kick on, and I think we didn't lose in six after that. With some really good performances, I think four wins, two draws or something. Yeah, four wins, two draws and 15 points after. So, I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to continuing and kicking on.
Was you managing with the derby, or was that just before you?
No, the derby against Swansea was before me. That was a draw. I think that was our only point that we picked up in that first seven games. But I was assistant manager. So,
are you looking forward to the return leg? Is it a good atmosphere? You're looking forward to a return game?
It's a massive game, but I've put it on the players now that every game's a derby game, and our derby game is something that no one can compete with. So I'm expecting us to be fully ready for that game. Just purely on conversations we've already had, without having to create a week for it. It's the build up started a long time.
But, you're off to Hillsborough this week. I mean, it's just some of the grounds are just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. It's been a few years now where I've been in these stadiums and, not as a player, obviously. As a player, we've done them playing, but as a coach, fortunate enough to do them last year, the year before. And now to be as a head coach, it's just that little bit more, special.
And of course, in a couple of weeks' time, you could be up against someone like Frank Lampard.
I mean, it doesn't faze me at all, if I'm honest with you. We don't have no control of anything. The players are playing on the pitch at the end of the day. We do our work in the week, and then the players go out on the pitch and perform and apply what we've asked, and with little tweaks here and there, whether it's during the game, half time, we try to help them as much as we can, but the players are the ones that have to be ready.
Oh, and what ambitions have you got, Omar? Realistically, do you think Cardiff could finish this year?
I think we started poorly. I think we've got a good makeup of players. The top half of the table, top 10, and if we can try to push into the playoffs, providing we do things right in January, I don't see why that can't be available to us with where we are in the league and the points that we've got at the minute and how close it is. But it's like everything, you need to pick up points and you need to have some momentum and you need to win back-to-back games, three, four games, and it takes you right up there. So easy talking, but you've got to do it and you've got to win. But I think I've got the team playing away an exciting way, exciting football. I think we create 10 to 20 chances a game. Which is great to see, providing, the work we do on the training ground is applied in the game, and I can enjoy myself and watch them do that. I'm happy. I've always said I don't want to be a coach who applies a style that I watch and I'm bored of, and it doesn't look good, and you know, that doesn't really appeal to me. It's got to feel good for you as well, you know.
Yeah, just looking at six in the form guide as well, over the last six games as well.
Yeah, shame about the last two games. You know, the Luton one, we let a goal in from a set play, really should have been 0-0. And the Blackburn game, it was back down to individual mistakes again. We created 20 chances, but individual mistakes and lack of urgency first half and intensity first half wasn't good enough. And I think the game's just caught up to the group a little bit. We were tired and I didn't rotate much, as much as I would have liked. But hopefully this next block, we've got players coming back, you know, Joe Rawls, Aaron Ramsey. So there's a few coming back into the fold, and hopefully that will make us stronger and give us some more depth. And we can kick on and have a good second block again, or the next block.
So the next 2 months obviously are going to be hectic for you. You've got the Christmas period coming up, which everyone knows in sort of professional football, you know, is a hell of a lot of games. And then obviously you've got January with a transfer window. Is there sort of both of them sort of you're looking to get through one, or assess how you get through the Christmas period before you look at the transfer window?
Well, I think as you guys know, I'm still interim at the minute, so anything can happen between now and then. You know, you don't get a good result or a couple of bad results and potentially someone else could be coming in. So yeah, I just have to, you know, keep doing what I'm doing. The team has to keep fighting and believing, and like they're working so hard for me, and, you know, players have put it on record that you know, want me here, and fans have sort of started to, it's gone from 20% to like 80%. So we're in the right direction, and just that little bit of pressure of now winning the next block of games and kicking on from there. But yeah, hopefully, like you say, I think each block as it comes, I think, is important. But when you're not permanent, you can't look too far ahead.
Well, I will say, like I said, my friends that are in Cardiff, you have won them round. They're happy with what you're doing.
Oh, that's really nice to hear. And yeah, well, that makes me happy. And I always said when I first came in, like I said earlier, you know, if I get the fans off their seats and I get them walking home happy, or happy-ish, obviously we're never happy. No one's happy when we lose. But we can't win every game, you know. Well, I suppose you can, but, you know, on paper. But sometimes things don't work out the way you want them to. But I think for me, what's important is the processes that's put in place at the club. How the staff are, how the players are, what the processes are to make sure everyone's working as a team and not in silos. The fans being happy, the club and the people above being happy. That's what's important to me. So I think I've achieved that up to now, and I just need to, you know, we need to keep pushing towards that.
I got one last question for him before we start chatting to have a chat with Christian. I mean, it's the guy's an absolute living legend, as far as I'm concerned. What's your star man like, Mr. Ramsey?
Oh, being an Arsenal fan, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Pain on you. Yes. Yeah, no, listen, he's a great guy, very professional. Got great. You already know what sort of qualities he possesses. Obviously, he's getting to an age now where he's, you know, he's like a fine wine. Obviously, he's got qualities that's very important to the team. Once he gets over his injuries, or his injury, hopefully we get him back in the squad and helping out towards the results. The boys have done really well. You know, Reuben Colwell, who's playing regular now, he's junior, if you like, looks up to Aaron. So I think he will help him moving forwards. They'll help each other in the game. So yeah, he's a great guy, you know, very respectful, works really hard, honest, and humble, and yeah, I really enjoy working with him.
I spoke to Noel Mooney during the off season, the CEO at the Welsh FA, and he said almost word for word exactly what you said about him. Said he pops in there on a regular basis and says that he's an absolute dynamite guy.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, so he's echoing what, or I'm echoing what he said. Yeah, and he, you know, I think, you know, the proof's in the pudding with what he's achieved in his career. You know, I was from Arsenal. I'm an Arsenal supporter. It was nice seeing him do what he'd done, and nice working with him now, you know. So, yeah, it's hopefully he gets, like I say, he gets over his injuries and we get him back in the team.
They're all legends are Arsenal fans, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I'll let you guess what two Keith supports, but yeah.
Hold on, one of my sons is an Arsenal fan, Dave. The other one's obviously a Tottenham fan, so
always happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But listen, mate, we wish you all the very best for what you know, and hopefully you get that job permanently because you absolutely deserve it.
I appreciate it, mate. Thank you.
As I said, I will pop in next time I'm down.
Yeah, definitely. Give me. I think I still might have your number on my phone. I don't know. If not, Dave Square might have it. I don't know. That bald guy sitting next to asking me. He might.
I might have it as well. Okay, mate. Yeah, give me
a
bell.
If you got it, yeah, give me a bell and I'll sort you out some tickets.
Brilliant. Cheers, mate.
And love to the family as well, mate.
Yeah, you too, mate.
Mate, great stuff.
Shall I go, yeah?
Yeah, you can do, mate. You can stay if you want to. You can stay if you want to. Or you can come home if you want to get home. But, I mean, Christian, I mean, you know, welcome to the show. And I mean, tell us a little bit about, you know, what you do.
Yeah, so the website originally was what I created was through the turnstile of non-league football. It was on the back of one article that I wrote through my day-to-day job. Basically, I was working with a lot of non-league clubs as like a community outreach to sort of help promote them and help promote us. And I sort of just got swept away with the non-league scene and got more and more involved as the weeks went on. So I wrote this article just about, you know, how non-league is sort of growing and how it differs to everything else and, you know, the fan base and everything in it. And from that, there was a lot of positive comments and I created the website that's there now. And on it, I'm just about to write the 20th club feature. So the idea of the club features is basically a top to bottom look at the club. So from the start to the finish, basically whoever's reading it knows exactly what the club's about. You got everything there that a fan would need, the food, the drink, where the stadium is. And then there's even insights from like the fans, the staff members and like the chairman as well, of what their forward progress looks like and where they want to see the club going. It's just something I wanted to do to sort of help promote the clubs that don't get that sort of reach. And then amongst the club features, I've interviewed like people in the industry as well. Probably the most notable one was Lars, the founder of Footballogy. So I've got Lars on and done an interview with him about how his app sort of come about and how it took off. But yeah, the whole premise of the sort of website was just to shine a light on the clubs in non-league that are doing great things that potentially go unnoticed. And then also highlighting some of the key volunteers and key players in the game that also go unnoticed as well. And yeah, it's just sort of created quite a nice little community off the back of it.
So how did you get involved in obviously non-league football, Christian? Obviously, you support of a club? If so, you know, what one and what do you do there for them?
Yeah, so growing up, my childhood team was Gillingham. So it come at a time probably about 4 or 5 years ago when things weren't so great around the club. Obviously it was at the end of Scully's sort of time, so the fan experience wasn't really on the top of anyone's agenda. Things are a lot different now, and Gillingham I still say my club, but it sort of twinned with that time that my other local club, Chatham Town, sort of took me under their wing. And as part of my day-to-day job, I was getting experience with what they do, highlighting some of that stuff, and sort of started going to more of their games, and just started realising, wow, you know, didn't understand sort of the scale of non-league. So this is back in like February, March time, so it's quite a short space of time this all happened.
Have you seen the sort of the progression that Chatham's done over the last few years? Because obviously, I remember managing there when it was, it was quite run down, and they've done the club up unbelievable at the moment. Obviously, it's 3G, but it's right up there, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, quite spoiled in the sense of that being my local non-league club. In the sense of their facilities are incredible. Like, they've got like state-of-the-art facilities, like bar facilities that they hire out, and the pitches, you know, yeah, it's artificial, but it's a good standard. And their dressing rooms as well, they're modelled on, they've, as the manager tells me, because he's a United fan, they're modelled on United's changing rooms, and they're not exactly not what you'd expect from a non-league club.
Is that United at the moment? What, they smashed up then?
Yeah, maybe about 20 years ago, but yeah, maybe not the heyday. But yeah, and alongside that, I before that as well, I like volunteer for Nuneaton Town, so I do their match day highlights for them. It's a bit of a passion project of mine, video editing. So put my two loves together, football and video, and yeah, so I've helped them from the start of this season. So yeah, that's another little bit, but that's nothing to do with the website. That's just me personally getting involved in that.
Christian, as well, you just published this as well. I don't think people can see it, actually, just about see it with the green screen.
No, because you've got a green screen behind you. Yeah, so try and tell us what it is.
You're going to see it, yeah. But it's part of Pitches, that magazine that you've just bought out.
Yeah. So back in July, I sort of come up with the idea of, I knew that non-league was still massive on print, like the programmes and match day sort of thing. And I knew I wanted to bring something that wasn't just digital. I wanted to bring something to non-league that wasn't there. So I did a little research and I couldn't find anything that was sort of broad scope across the whole of the non-league in the print world. And so I got together a group of 10 of us, basically, who people who I've interviewed across the last 6 months and that have passion of non-league football as well, and put together like a 40-page magazine that's dedicated to non-league football. In the back of it, there's a free match day ticket as well. Mm-hmm. So the first edition is going to be a free match day for everyone that buys it for Chatham Town. And then the next edition, there'll be a brand new team. And that's going to be a regular feature of a magazine just to help get more people through that turnstile and just help teams that are, you know, promote themselves that way.
Great idea that is.
And of course, looking at it, I'm just looking at it, you got, you know, we've got you know, he's ground hopping in here, Scouts Honor, Radio Gaga, growing trend of fan owned non-league clubs, stuff from Cray Valley in here as well, keeping your eyes on the rise of Ramsgate, inspiring the next generation in here. Yeah. It goes on and on, as you say, and you've got Chichester City as well, somewhere close down where Keith is as well. You've got Kettering Town, of course, again, great guns in the Southern League as well. You've got an in the hot seat as well with Colin, the founder of Total Grassroots. And of course, at the back, as you said, there's your ticket as well to get in to Chatham Town.
Yeah, really tried to. I wanted to make it broad reach. So, yeah, like I say, we've got a scout in there who works for West Brom, but he does non-league scouting. So he done an article on basically what his role looks like, some of the tools that he uses, and how, if you're interested, how the steps that you could take to sort of step into his shoes. So yeah.
So Christian, you've done something like this, which is unreal. How did you fund it?
So the first print run, so obviously the first magazine, we done half price, so it was £150. The first print run was wholly sponsored by, paid by the sponsors. Wow. So there's sponsors that are come on board for the website. And then there was some sponsors that are actually in the magazine as well. So that first initial print run was risk-free, essentially, because it was a bit of an acid test. I didn't know what the uptake was going to be. The uptake was that we sold out in less than a week, so I've had to restock, but which is a good problem to have. And with the next one in February, I was expecting them to last a bit longer, but yeah, it's gone well.
I got a question.
Yeah.
What's the end goal then? Where is this leading to? Is this trying to lead to something that's you know, where you'll make money from, and you'll you know, it becomes a business, or is it already a business? And yeah, what is it for?
Yeah, I mean, in the initial conversations I had with the guys, I said my end goal is solely just to give something back to some, to the non-league scene that's given me so much in a short space of time. I'm a lover of print, and yes, it's this first run hasn't made money, and it was never intended to. The end goal potentially is that, you know, potentially it could be a full-time job with the contributors, you know, coming on board full-time. I would love that. It's a passion of mine. And if it's possible to do that, then I'm ready for it. I've got everything set up for it to go that way. So yeah, that would be the ideal.
The only thing with it is, there isn't much money in non-league, is there? Unless it's at the top end of non-league. And what league was it Chatham that you're doing?
Yeah, Chatham's in step three, Omar. They're doing really well, yeah.
Is that what is that conference?
That's Isthmian Prem.
Isthmian Prem.
Yeah.
So what's the going budget for that now in step three?
Oh, Omar, since you've come out of here, it's gone crazy.
Quite
high.
Yeah,
what would it be then? What would be the going rate for a budget in that league?
I would say average $4,000 to $5,000.
I mean, when I was at Chesham, it was a grand or something. Yeah. But they were Ryman North at the time. So.
Yeah, you was same as us, weren't you? So it's gone on. There's some. Good players and some of the clubs have done really well and yeah. Also, Chatham's home gates now, if I'm Christian, have gone from something like 4 or 5 years ago, 2.5 to, is it around 1,000 average now?
Yeah, average about 1,500 last season.
1,500?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so they've got quite, I think it struck a sweet spot, the whole sort of website and the magazine sort of launch, because I think a lot of people have turned away due to many reasons, costs being probably the biggest. So I think there's a big appetite for it. I know print is one of the dying medias, but there is still a lot of love for it. Mm. So how far it can go, I'm not sure. I think enjoying the ride at the moment and seeing where it takes us.
Well, looking, I'll just... put it up on football web pages. The average home gate this season, 1,144.
Yeah, so it's dipped a little this year. Yeah, I mean, they were in promotion race for all of last year.
Still a good number for Ryman Prem or Isthmian Prem. It's a very good number.
Yeah.
Is it Isthmian Prem, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. In that league this year, though, Omar, you've got, obviously, you've got Chatham, you've got Dulwich, you've got Dover, you've got Dartford.
Mm.
So yeah. there's some big club. Folkestone, obviously, they're going big guns. So,
Dulwich is Hack, isn't it? Hack.
Pump? Yeah. Dulwich is Hack.
Yeah.
Folkestone's Andy Drury.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if you remember Steve McKim, who's at Cray Valley now.
McKim, yeah, he was. Did he not take? Was he not at Truro at one stage or something like that?
Was at Tunbridge, wasn't he?
Tunbridge, that's it. Tunbridge, yeah.
Yeah. And he's took Cray Valley from Eastern South, well, from all the way up there, and they're right up there at the moment as well.
Cray Valley was where Ollie Tanner was at.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, they got to they play Cheltenham in the FA Cup. Got
our Ollie Tanner that we've got here was at Cray with what was his name? The manager Russell.
Kevin Watson.
No, Russell.
Tony Russell.
Tony Russell.
Yeah. That's Cray Wanderers.
Ah, right, yeah, okay.
It's I mean, look, just looking at some of the, as you said, in Chatham, 1,567 at Billericay, 1,400 for Dulwich, 1,700, which is probably a surprise, Hendon, just over 1,000 for Canby, 1,200 for Potters Bar Town, and 1,900 for Dover.
1,200 for Potters Bar?
Yeah.
You know, that's because people are giving up on league football, maybe, and just going to watch non-league instead.
Yeah. Yeah, that is that essentially back in February when I done that initial article, I done a lot of league to non-league features and interviewed fans as to who their club was and why they've moved to a non-league club. And there was a lot of them, and a lot of it was either based around technology or price.
Also, they're getting them gates and you've got Maidstone down the road as well.
Yeah.
Who get decent. You know, they get decent gates.
Yeah.
And it's
very competitive. Yeah, there's a lot of clubs in the southeast in that sort of area. So, yeah.
But there's a bit of a connection, isn't there, between those the two clubs that you mentioned, Christian, in Chatham and Gillingham, of course, because Chatham, of course, lost to Enfield Town in the playoff final last year.
Yeah.
And then your other club, Nick Ness, top goal scorer, and took him to Gillingham.
Yeah, and they're struggling a bit. Obviously, taking one of their top scorer from a team that's just got promoted is a bit.
Bonner, isn't it? Mark Bonner.
Yeah, Mark Bonner, yeah.
How's Marcus doing?
It's up and down. We had a really strong start. Looked solid at the back. And then for the last 6 weeks, been shaky. Don't know what's happened. I think my view is that we're lacking someone to pull them in and have a bit of accountability. There's too many heads turning to each other whenever we go one down, which never is a good sign. But we got a 1-0 win against Port Vale, which was a bit of a shock. I know they were struggling with injuries, but we'll take it. Mm. But yeah, you never know. Could bounce back. Bit of a strange time for us. So, but yeah, no, it was good signing. I like it. I like the fact that we've taken, gone for non-league and going for the raw talent rather than just going for what we used to do, where we used to just take someone for basically for the wages that they wanted to get before they retired. That was always the risk we used to take. So yeah.
Well, Marcus to Gillingham, Ricardo to Cardiff City.
You're gonna want to find us, feed Dave.
I'll send him a video later on tonight. Show him and send him the highlights.
Yeah,
I've got plenty of them. So if you need them, I have got them. But listen, it's been fantastic catching up with you again tonight, Omar. Really, it's been a pleasure to see you and catching up. And hopefully, we can catch up again with you in the near future as well. And hopefully, you're pushing that Bluebirds up towards the playoffs.
Cheers, mate. Just want to say well done to you, Christian, for the work you've done, mate. It's, you know,
oh, thank you.
Credit to you. You know, passion you've got, and you know, don't stop following your passion. That's for sure.
Mm. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, and best of luck with the job and everything forward.
Christian, before we go, just tell people where can they get your magazine?
So on all my social media, it's the same handle. It's at TTTONLF. So it's through the turnstile of non-league football. And there's a link on there which takes you to the shop. You can just buy a magazine through the link. And it's called Parks to Pitches.
I can honestly say it's a fantastic read as well, because I've sat there and bought a copy and had a good read of that. It really is a good read and well worth everybody getting hold of that to have a look. But a massive thanks to you, Christian, as well, for coming on tonight, and massive thanks to Omar, and of course a massive thanks for the returning the legend, Mr. Keith McMahon. Thanks for coming back, mate, and we're really happy to have you back with us. And we will be back, me and Keith will be back next week, next Monday night, for another Repost non-league show. But in the meantime, thanks for watching and good night.